Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Be Simply. This is She, and I want to thank you for joining us in this moment. And we're connecting to the magic within the forest and what can happen when we imagine and engage in a relationship with Mother Nature. And tonight, that catalyst for that conversation is going to be the mushrooms, Siberian mushroom tale, to the trees and to the jungle. And the reason for this conversation is that as we talk about dreaming and imagining, these are those fun things that we used to do as children and hopefully still do as young adults or grown adults or aging adults, whatever you might want to see it as. But if you can think about what occurs when we imagine and engage that imagination, more than not, our mind is consumed with things that we have to get done or that we're worried about or we're stressed about. And rather than doing that, we could say, all right, write down what you have to get done so you don't forget and you can check it off. Simple to remove that thought process. And instead of worrying, imagine what you'd rather have happen. See what you'd like to have happen, and then know that if something doesn't go your way, that you are well-equipped or you might be able to reach out and have someone help you with the pathways to getting to that center point and finding your way through that situation. So tonight, to tantalize our imagination, we're going to start with the mushrooms, the magic mushrooms. And this is interesting enough. It's been talked about. You might have seen it on the internet a little bit. But the potential origination of the Santa Claus myth or story, and these are derived from the Amanita muscaria. Oh my gosh. They're the red and white mushrooms, and they are seen all the time with little trolls. You'll see a lot of, in Germany especially, you'll see the Christmas ornaments with these mushrooms. And they're basically also a book called Soma, the immortal mushroom. So this mushroom has quite a history. And these bright red mushrooms with white spot were very important in shamanic traditions of Siberia and Mongolia. This fungus is a well-known hallucinogenic. So they also will warn that certain species of this mushroom are considered poisonous. Now, this has something to do with, as I've researched, how it's dried out. So the story, the imagination is that you can add to the story or you can learn a little bit about history, is that this mushroom used to be gathered in the forest. And squirrels will do this still to this day. This is grown in Canada. And then we'll start to see where we get these traditions of the Christmas tree. The squirrels will take the mushrooms and dry them out up on the Christmas tree. So you'll see these little red balls, hence where that tradition started to come from. And sometimes we participate in things for many different reasons, but we don't really question why we're hanging ornaments or anything like that. So if you imagine these beautiful little squirrels running around, drying out their mushrooms and storing these away for the winter, and this was their food, and you can imagine what type of dreams these squirrels might have been having all winter long as they are connecting with this shamanic mushroom. Then in Siberia and Mongolia, because they were mainly snowed in hibernation, so we would even maybe think or question further, what are the medicinal qualities of this mushroom? Forget just the hallucinogenics, but what is happening? Does this enable to set the body in a certain way so that hibernation can occur? Because in cold regions of the world, we'll have bears or different animals that hibernate all year round or all winter long. And the same might be true for habitants. They oftentimes, their yurts were snowed in, so the only way in or out was through the heat shaft where they would have the fire going. So the shaman, dressed in red and white, similar to Saint Nick, would come in and deliver the mushrooms and lay them either along the altar and teach them how to string them so they would dry properly. And this is a beautiful seed point of how this whole tradition started. So that while there'll be conversations that it may not be good to tell your children that there's a Saint Nicholas, well, maybe you can feel a little bit better and say, you know what, there were Siberian shamans that delivered mushrooms through the chimney and left them by the fire, and these were gifts. So that can bring you a little bit more into truth and integrity without feeling like you're misleading your children. And so we can all hope that maybe the Siberian shaman comes and delivers us these medicinal mushrooms. So their work was typically done and created by drumming and dancing and singing. And the consumption of mushrooms was prepared in special ways to reduce the toxicity. And as I mentioned, some of these are considered poisonous. So I'm not suggesting going out and trying a bunch. But this is also because the mixture could be used for deep vision, including time travel. This was the origination of the flying reindeer. So now you can go back to all the songs and start to think of them a little bit different and imagine really what is the purpose of the mushrooms and what catalyst does it provide us in the winter months, and what does it provide the Siberians and the Mongolians, because again, this is grown in that region of the world, also in Canada, and what do the squirrels get from it? So this is a great way to play and connect with this beautiful network. And the network of the mushrooms, besides Amanita muscaria, besides this specific species, there are many, and it's a beautiful communication network. It helps regenerate the soil. It helps do so many things, and obviously feed wildlife naturally. They're gravitated towards it. So to think about the mushrooms and imagine how they can feed you on a day in and day out basis. And then the other network that we have is the trees, because they're creating the oxygen we breathe. And they have this other communication network. So leading into the story of the beautiful mushrooms that take us on a magic carpet ride, beyond that, on a day-in and day-out basis, the reason I wanted to cultivate this conversation was to think about starting to have a conversation with nature. And when we have that conversation, then guess what happens? We know what to interact with, what to consume, what wants us to interact with it, and no longer is it the separate foreign thing that we don't have an engagement with. When we do this, all these experiences open up and we have a deeper understanding of our connectivity to our planet and everything that's growing around us. So as you contemplate that thought and think about how do you interact with nature during these winter months, how do you engage your imagination? And what does the trees and the mushrooms and the squirrels have to do with this activation? If you connect with the playfulness of the squirrels, and if you connect with the power of the trees and the wisdom, and if you connect to the mystery of the mushroom and what it might have to offer each and every one of us, see what happens. So as you contemplate that, we're going to listen to a little drumming by Brent Lewis, because as mentioned, we're going to talk a little bit further about the invocation of sound and what nature is communicating to us. Brent Lewis, he wrote this song called Jungle Jam, and that will lead us into our next topic as we dive into the Amazon. Think about the mushrooms, think about the trees, think about the little critters, the squirrels, and what you would like to imagine your engagement to be with any of them or all of them. And when we come back, we'll go into the jungle. That was Brent Lewis with Equalma Jungle Jam. And as we were connecting to the Siberian mushrooms and the traditions found in Mongolia, Siberia, and the squirrel tradition found in North American continent, Canada, we can think about these mushrooms. Interesting enough, this tradition occurred on the solstice on the 21st of December. And the reason for the delivery and the drying process was that in Siberia, Mongolia, it was thought and believed that 4 days after the solstice, the 25th, is a very powerful day. And that is when these mushrooms would be ingested. So we have all these clues that are quite interesting. So again, we can bring in our imagination and start to think about these things that we are participating in and wondering why. And one of these great articles I read said, wouldn't it be better to share the true traditions with your children, and that this was a celebration of these offerings from Mother Earth and what is afforded in this winter time. In the Hopi tradition in North America, they don't have Siberian mushrooms. However, this is a very sacred time when the Kachinas, the star beings, go home or come home to the mesas. And so this is a beautiful time for them also, because they get to return and their ceremonial dances begin for the next 6 months before they return to their sacred mountain. So a lot of interesting things from indigenous traditions are happening right around this holiday that was coined for theological purposes, but also for nature's purposes. So you can allow yourself to dream and imagine and see what comes up for you around that. Now we're going to springboard into the jungle. And the reason for this is I'm currently reading, and hopefully soon we'll be doing an interview, Rainforest Medicine, Preserving Indigenous Science and Biodiversity in the Upper Amazon. This is by Jonathan Miller Weisberger, and he has a beautiful retreat center down in the Oso Peninsula. I've taken a group down there before. It's where the river meets the ocean. It's very remote. You have to take a couple planes, a boat, a horse, and walk in. But he has done all this preservation, went to Berkeley, also grew up in Ecuador. He's an ethnobotanist and just a treasure. And this book is really well written and just really fun to read. And the reason I wanted to bring this up is part of what he shares in here is the song of the plant. And with some of the elders that I work with, they always talk about and reminding me to play the song of the condor, play the song of the plant, and see what comes out. And this was a beautiful confirmation as I read this. I'm going to read this excerpt from the book, called, and it's page 86 in chapter 4, but Sacred Songs of the Medicine. And this is a quote from Kathleen Harrison in Visionary Plant Consciousness. Many cultures talk about the songs that come through the plants. If you listen well to a plant that you have solicited medicinal aid from, they say you can learn its song, and its song will be as effective as medicine as the plant material itself. That's when you've taken that plant in as your deep ally, when you can invoke its medicine without even necessarily touching or finding the plant. At that point, you have access to the spirit of the medicine. And this is very true in ayahuasca ceremonies down in Peru, Ecuador, when the Yiquero sings the songs and sings to the person that has the medicine in them and helps them through that practice. Again, we can connect with nature in this way, that you can take time, and it might feel a little foreign to you if you've never had this experience. I've taken people on hikes, and they say they spend a lot of time in nature, but they don't engage with nature. And all I can share from my own experience is that nature is really there waiting to have the conversation. You just have to listen and start to get refining with your communication skills. Don't force it. you can have fun, imagine stories, conversations, but then see what happens. And exactly what Kathleen points out here in this quote that Jonathan shared was that these communication frequencies are available to us, and actually Mother Earth will lift those medicines off the earth if you're so connected, and she will give you those medicines when you're ready. There are many beautiful ways if you're saying, well, I don't want to go on any plant medicine or mushroom rides. Well, you don't have to. There's many ways to connect to plant life, even within the food you eat. And this creates that conversation, and it connects you deeper to that which we're connected to, this plant system, this earth system, and we realize that we're separate from us. So this is an opportunity for you to start to dream, imagine, and create a conversation with this kingdom of plants, animals, rocks, mountains, trees, everything you could ever imagine, and see what happens. And you could start simply by just imagining it, imagining what that would be like, and see where it goes from there. There's another, Paul Stamos, he is beautifully connected to the mushroom and is very committed to having that conversation with nature. He's very in tune with what mushrooms are growing where and other plant life, and he can feel it because he's created those receptors. He's reawakened those receptors, I should say, so that he can have that conversation and know. Now, you might be asking, well, where does this get me? Why do I need to do this? Well, it really does serve on so many beautiful ways, because you really then start to harmonize with where you're supposed to be and what's important, and you'll feel a great ease when you start to cultivate this conversation that has been lost, really has been severed in many, many traditions around the planet and within many communities. I can share that when I've traveled to the Philippines, there's these harmonics, the sound, the song frequency is so beautiful there that it's very easy for anyone to dip into that frequency. Song just comes effortlessly. So this is that communication that we could start to have. So if you're inspired, do a little investigation yourself and see what you can imagine and see how you can start to engage that conversation and relationship with Mother Nature. You can explore the Siberian mushrooms. You can explore having conversations with the trees, and you can explore maybe some of the jungle plants. And that's what we're going to close on tonight. There is this tea. It's a dreaming tea that's commonly used in Ecuador and different parts of the rainforest, primarily located originally in Ecuador, I believe. Jonathan, the author of the book I'm mentioning, he was the first person to introduce me to this tradition when I was staying at his center, his retreat center there. And basically after the hens would sound in the morning, we would go into the hut. He would have a big cauldron boiling of the ayahuasca, the guayosa leaves, and that would be one way to wake up, the guayosa leaves, and then we would sit and recapitulate our dreaming. We'd connect. This is a beautiful practice, a simple way to connect with nature. The guayosa tea is a stimulant. It has many antioxidants in there. It'll get you up and going. The myth that were said is that this plant actually spoke to the jungle, the beautiful beings in the jungle. That basically in Ecuador they were feeling a little too sleepy, and the plant spoke to them and said that this will give you energy and keep you moving, and that's the lore that's told around this plant. But once you take it, you'll realize that that's absolutely true. So the guayosa tea has been found to contain 50% more antioxidants than green tea, and with the second highest ORAC score of any food product tested. So if you go to the link below, you can read a little bit more, and you will see by just checking it out and trying it out yourself how it makes you feel and the benefits. So it's a fun daily practice. It's a great way to start your engagement of your conversation with Mother Nature and see what happens if you're inspired. So what we're going to do to sign out tonight, as we've connected to the mushrooms, the trees, the squirrels, the jungle tea, as I call it here at my home, and to the Rainforest Medicine Book, which we'll talk about more in the future, is see if you're ready to have a conversation with Mother Nature and just choose an element, connect with it, whatever it might be, and see where it goes and see what happens. We're going to sign out with another fun moving song, which nature likes to move. It's called Rain Dance. As we sign out, just take some time to really see what pops into your mind's eye, where you'd like to dive in or where you'd like to dive in deeper. The conversation is eternal. There's no way, if you've sat at the Grand Canyon or been in the middle of the jungle, you realize that to take some time to dedicate talking to Mother Nature, you will not run out of topics because there's plenty of things to commune with. So as you connect to Rain Dance, just move a little, smile a little, imagine just sipping up Mother Nature and the fun little mythologies, fairy tales, and traditions. Until next time, this is she signing out with a deep bow, a soft gaze, a full heart, and a namaste.
Chalapango.